With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from a still undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 191, the box office report for the week ending June 12th, 2016.
I wonder if we should ever disclose it.
I think we should at some point.
I guess at some point. I mean, we should disclose it enough that we can all make it.
Yeah. We're not in Chicago going to Six Flags.
He knows we have a Six Flags here, right?
Yeah.
Well, after your horror story, who in their right mind would want to go back?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yes. It's worth the commute. Yeah.
I'll drive this 8 hours to Chicago to go to there.
It's supposed to be a nice Six Flags.
Oh, really?
I've never heard those two words said side by side.
And it is. I've heard that.
Is it a newer one?
No, I just think it's nicer.
Nicer?
Do they have some sort of way to like chemically remove the sadness from the park?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that we actually are annual pass holders because...
You lost a bet?
No. Because they have a sale, last year they had a sale, like, on Memorial Day.
Right.
And it was, for the price of a single day ticket, you could get a season pass. And it would be the rest of the year and the following year.
Wow, that's...
Including parking.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
They were desperate.
So I'm like, I go, this is the same price if we wanted to go at all?
Yeah.
We could... Just do that?
Sure.
And
you never went back.
Well, the thing is, like, we go, first of all...
The lady at the ticket booth gave you so much crap.
We're early risers. So, Tom is very familiar with the term rope drop. We are rope droppers.
Uh-huh.
And if you get there early, it's quite easy to get in. And also, I have, you know, a daughter who's not... Yet four, so we've got a very condensed area of focus.
All right. Oh, that's true. Like, you're not going to knock out the whole park.
No.
Yeah.
And so I could go there, like, when she was off, and that's why I had to take a day off. She was out of daycare one day, and so I took her on a Friday. We went to that for, like, 2 hours. She thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
You know, and that's the best part, though, if you do something like that.
Do-do.
is that... Like, you don't feel compelled to stay the whole time.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, once this one tires out, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, whatever, we'll come back later.
I don't have to worry about it. And so that's why I was like, you know, because when we go, it's going to be a short trip anyway, and we won't feel like, oh, but we spent all, we got to get our money's worth.
Did you get,
like,
a giant turkey leg? No? Just walking around.
No, I got the big Rasta banana, though, like that guy. It took me, like, $5 to get that thing. No. So, I mean, she loves it. But, based on your horror story, I mean, I think that's the only way to go.
At least you actually got in the park.
Yes. What do you mean? You got into the park?
I eventually, but well, yeah,
you went pee. What do you want?
That's the best ride there is.
That's just mishandling.
I won a, so back in the day, Blockbuster used to have a video game championship. And I won at my local Blockbuster. And, like, the deal is you won at your local store.
You basically won a contest that was about not doing your work, you doing your job at your job.
No, I was a child when I did this.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I would think employees shouldn't be allowed to enter these things.
No, I was a kid. This was in, like, 93 or so.
All right.
Oh, geez. Yeah. He was a kid in 93.
Yeah, I would have been.
All right, Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin was, well, whatever. But yeah, so like you won at your local store, then you got to go to Six Flags, and you got to play at Six Flags, and I got smoked at Six Flags, and I was like, well, now that I'm out of the first round, what would you do? I guess we're going to go to the park. I guess since we're here.
Go to Tom's Twister.
Go to the Screaming Eagle.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Then we were three, like Genesis. Do I say that every time?
I'm pretty sure you do.
Probably I do.
Yeah, I haven't heard it in a while, though.
I think I'm probably the Phil Collins, just because I'm short and bald.
I was like,
it's not a not a talent thing. It's just a bald thing.
I tell you what, I'm going to call Peter Gabriel.
God dang it. Yeah. The other guy.
I would side with that.
Yeah,
especially if anybody who's never heard, like, because there's people out there who have no idea that he was even in the band.
Yeah. I did know that he was in the
band. If you listen to that stuff, it's a quite a different experience.
Oh,
it's kind of like listening to Fleetwood Mac before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
It's a totally different band.
It's
in a good way? Or just in a different way?
It's not my thing. It's very prog rock.
It's prog rock. There's some amazing stuff. It's very, it's musically focused.
Yeah. Okay.
It's less...
Lots of noodling
song
around.
Focused.
Yes.
Noodling around? Is that what you
said? Yeah.
Oh, all right. And then he went on to do Sledgehammer.
I just wrote a Genesis song.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's like, and then he's got all those songs in his head, like Sledgehammer and Big Time.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. It was like, it was all this weird prog rock crap. And then.
He said to get out of his system.
And then, like, he leaves, and Genesis is like, how about we write a song?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they do that, and then he's like, yeah, I guess I'll write a song, too. And it was like, but why didn't you do that over in the other place?
That would have been interesting.
Well, even his solo stuff was probably, I think, reached a little bit further than Paper Late.
Fair enough.
I don't know what that means.
It's no fun being an illegal alien.
Oh,
there's a song that doesn't hold up very well.
There's, oh, what's man, happening? They've got some dogs.
In their defense, though, it's not fun.
What are you talking about?
These are some Genesis songs.
Genesis had a song called Illegal Alien.
Oh, it's terrible.
And it's
terrible.
And the chorus is, it's no fun being an illegal alien.
Judging by today's...
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
It's a mistake. It was one of those things where you're like...
No, that's Men at Work.
Oh, that's right.
Would you like to hear some of the lyrics?
Yeah.
Got out of bed, wasn't feeling too good with my wallet and my passport and a new pair of shoes. The sun is shining, so I head for the park with a bottle of tequila and a new pack of cigarettes. Somehow that he made this rhyme. hang on, let me get to the full lyrics. I got a cousin and she got a friend who thought that her aunt knew a man who could help. At his apartment, I knocked on the door. He wouldn't come out until he got paid. Now how do you pay?
How does that Disney check cash?
How do you pay him before he comes out? This is prepaid.
Slide under the door.
Yeah. Now, don't tell anybody what I want to do. If they find out, you know that they'll never let me through because it's no fun being an illegal alien.
Alien. That's the only part that rhymed.
Yeah. Alien Gonzalez.
So bad. And they were dressed like Frito Bandito, right? I mean,
it was
the
very
video.
Mexican. Ooh. Like, it was very, like, like, this wasn't like, I'm from
Panchos and
sombreros. This wasn't like an I'm from England illegal alien.
This is like, we're from across the border.
No, they got the free sopapilla at Chevy's kind of look, you know?
Down at the office,
the hats.
Had to fill out the forms, a pink one, a red one, the colors you choose. Up to the counter to see what they think. They said it doesn't count, man. It ain't written in ink.
Wow.
God. I'm glad I missed that.
Yeah. So there's Genesis.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and I Can't Dance. That was another one.
Yeah.
I you know what?
I remember that song. I think
Peter Gabriel was they were a better band.
I like
well,
that.
Well, they do have some good songs. Though.
They do. It's
like without Peter Gabriel. But there's some.
But the bands are bad.
Yeah. There's.
You know. And that's got to be Phil.
You just think it almost has to be.
Yeah, because the other two are just like, just play it.
just go on.
Yeah.
Because one was in Mike and the Mechanics.
Yeah, Mike Rutherford was Mike and the Mechanics.
And
the other one is the guy that was, he's legally changed his name to the other one.
So.
Him and the guy from Wham.
Yeah.
So shameless plugs. This is going to be rough because League of Show Shares, I did not go through and put them in a list. So bear with me. If I repeat your name, it's your lucky week. Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, whose mother I got in a fight with.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Not a fight, but we had a disagreement on his page.
What do you call it? A row? Maybe?
Donnybrook.
A dust up. Yeah, Donnybrook.
Tom Kaminsky, Timmy Two Zunes, Brett Schulte, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Travis T. Witt, Chris Sansochi, Jason Antris, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. Hang on. Did I say Chris Sanders?
I don't remember.
Well, if I did, then congratulations, Chris. Ryan Breidenbecker, Brian Kelly, and that appears to be everyone. So there. Edit that, no. Kevin. Don't forget, we're also available on iTunes, where you can go and rate and review and subscribe to us. It helps us tremendously. We've been stuck at 100 reviews, but I remember a day when we were stuck at like 6.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining. But
they were all like people.
They were all us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just making up different accounts.
Yeah. Like, here's my not a real Spoilers cast member.
Mr. P-2225.
Yeah. Not a real Spoilers cast member at hotmail.com. So
I just saw that we're available on Podbean.
I think our RSS feed kind of pushes
Sweet.
Out to everyone.
I didn't know that. I just downloaded. Somebody sent me a link for the app, and I downloaded. I was like, I wonder if we're on there. And we are.
Yeah, we do our best to get ourselves out there on any of those ancillary podcast.
It's a good little app.
Distribution systems.
We're anywhere and everywhere. We're like weeds.
I'm glad you put an S on that. I didn't know where we were going.
So anyway, I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Dan, of all people, has Kevin's abacus at the ready, Dan.
Yeah, I think he was using this wrong.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah. But, so the number one this week is the almost movie of the week, The Conjuring 2.
There was a lot of internal going back and forth. Not in an ugly way, just we weren't sure where to land.
I was totally indifferent, and I just ended up buying it. Like, I honestly didn't even know what movie we were doing this week.
Right.
I just went by, I have this window of time that I can see a movie.
And this one starts now.
That one started.
So like, I didn't know what we were doing either, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do them both. And that way
you're
I'm covered.
A good man. Yeah. But you saw Batman 3 times.
I did.
Coming up for number 4.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'll do it.
I think I might just let you give me
I'll give you the lowdown.
So, Joe, you're the only one of us that saw The Conjuring.
I did.
Oh, well, you didn't tell us how much it made yet. Sorry.
$35 million.
Okay.
All right.
It's on 3,300 screens, so it's pretty wide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough because that first one was so good.
Oh, yeah.
So this one, there's some weird stuff in it. What I liked about the first one is I felt the connection to the family,
right,
that were involved with the haunting. And this one, I just didn't feel it. There's also, I know a lot about the backstory of this quote unquote haunting. Right. And they say that it's one of the most documented hauntings ever. But when you look at all of the stuff, it's pretty obvious it's complete bullshit.
Unlike the others.
Right. Well, I mean, like, at least Amityville, like, you have, like, that backstory of the DeFeos.
Sure.
I think in the first one, you kind of have a backstory as well, so they could. Mm-hmm. But there's no backstory to this.
Right.
Like, it's just a dude who died in a house. So what James Wan kind of does is he takes Amityville. So they bring you, they show you Amityville. That's how the film opens.
But they can't call it Amityville. They keep showing you a house that
kind of
looks
they
like.
They say Amityville.
Oh, okay.
It's in like.
I think they call it Midyville.
But they don't say like the Amityville horror, but I mean, you can't, it's a town.
Right.
Like you can use the name of the town. The home, like the whole opening scene, like it pulls back from the window of that, you know, the infamous like top part, but that's all you see.
Right.
They can show that?
They can show like the interiors.
Because that's so iconic.
That house is so iconic.
Right.
I didn't know that they could.
But I think maybe they got the rights as far as like coming, like not the actual outside of the house, but it's from the inside.
I wonder if you looked at the houses side by side, if they wouldn't look as similar as you think.
Oh,
like when I did Cinematic Titanic, where I work, which is made up of guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
We're doing a massive reunion, by the way.
They are. I'm going
everybody.
To it. I'm going to it.
Yeah,
actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We would put, you know, from the, you know, featuring the creator and cast of Mystery Science Theater 3000, but they were like, you can't use the logo. So I had my friend Mark Jackson, who created the Real Spoilers logo. I had him make a fake Mystery Science Theater 3000 logo that looked like the logo, or was evocative of the logo, wasn't actually the logo.
That may be what they did.
And
here.
Like, it was funny. The first time I submitted the poster to Joel, he was like, whoa, you can't use the logo. And I was like, you pull up your logo. I'm like, that ain't your logo. And he was like, holy crap.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
He's like, I totally thought that was our logo until I see our logo next to it. And it looks nothing like our logo. But then as soon as I take our logo away, I'm like, that's our logo.
Yeah. Right? I wonder if they like maybe changed like a dimension of a window.
Right.
Which probably takes it out of. So anyway, like they have intertwined Amityville and then the Enfield hauntings to tie like the Warrens into it, so right. Like there's a demon that
the Warrens were part of Amityville, weren't they?
They were part of Amityville.
That's
but
like their biggest case, except they can't do it in this franchise,
right? And I'm sure James Wan's like, God, dude,
oh, they got you know they're working.
They'll
on
get it.
They're working,
maybe.
You know.
Well, they can't now since they've
they
already
just what they really
glossed
what they,
over
what
it.
They need to happen is they need a Amityville Fantastic Four crossover. and then
give
at that
Josh
point
Trank.
They will throw up their hands and be like, make them both.
Yeah, whatever.
You can use the Warrens to exorcise the demons from Fantastic Four.
Maybe that's where they're going to bring in the whole Men in Black
21 Jump Street
crossover.
Yeah.
Work on that case with the Warrens.
That's pretty good.
Done.
That's good.
Like where your head's at, young man.
So they now don't get me wrong, I think in the first Conjuring they introduced the Annabelle doll, and I think that was I honestly believe that was not used to make a movie. Like it wasn't to like do an Annabelle movie.
That was awful.
Yeah. But I think that was just in there to be in there. They kind of do something similar in this one where they add another thing to it, and I was like, oh, that's going to be a movie.
It's that monkey that smacks the symbols
it's
together.
Monkey Shines. it's called the Crooked Man is what they call it in this. And he shows up and it's just kind of like.
I've never seen movies with their own backdoor pilots.
Yeah.
This is
exactly what
I thought.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's
just, but there are some absolutely horrifying scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene where this voice is coming out of the girl and they make everybody turn their backs, which is real. Like they would turn their backs and this girl would kind of fake the voice. They're like, oh, you won't hear him unless you don't look at him.
Right.
So everybody would turn around. But the way they do it is you've got Patrick Wilson in the forefront and it's all focused on him. And then the girl is in the back all faded out.
Right. Yeah.
So her head, as she starts to talk, like, as you're watching it starts to morph
right
like into the old man's head.
Okay.
And you're like, all right, you're gonna close in on it and we're gonna see it, and you never do. And it was just something simple like that.
Right.
Absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as the first one.
Well,
sure.
Here's the thing is that they undermine I think when horror movies, especially when they start to just tack on the numerical, you know, addendums, and I think it undermines, you know, sort of the gravitas or the dramatic effect of what the movie is, because it's like it immediately cheapens it.
Yeah, I would love to see them do one, and they open the first one with kind of doing this. I'd love to see them go through a whole movie scaring the crap out of you, and then at the end turns out that they'd been faking it the whole time and the Warrens bust them.
Oh, that'd be pretty good.
You know what I mean? Because that's what I liked about the first one is you showed them the opening scene. They were like, oh, no, this isn't true. Here's what's really happening.
Yeah.
And it was like,
they do that in this one, too.
Do they? Okay, because that added some, as you said, gravitas to the film, because it was like, okay, they don't believe everybody they run across.
Right. Well, there are definite, like, in the first one, you're in the same way what you're saying is like, they try to bust it up. In this one, like, it opens in Amityville, and then the next scene is like they're at a talk show, which is all legit. Like Ed and Lorraine would go on talk shows after Amityville all the time.
Right.
With people debunking that. Like constantly debunking that.
I see an episode of Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, was that what it was?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. There wasn't that many.
Sally
was
Jesse
Tom
Raphael.
Snyder or.
Yeah.
He didn't have an audience.
Yeah. No, he was just.
Just him.
Yeah. So either way, they say, like, they get to the end and they're just like, you know what? That's it. We're done. We don't want to do this anymore. They get somehow Edfield gets back to them and they're just like, look, we'll take a look. And if it's something that the Catholic Church, like, they're going as like a conduit for the Catholic Church.
Right.
Where they're like,
yeah, they were like supposedly like they were not, I mean, maybe not official, but they were
there.
The Catholic Church would be like, go check this out because yeah. I guess
we don't want to get caught up in Amityville again.
The guy, what's his name? I keep wanting to call him Earl Warren.
Ed.
I'm pretty sure that's not Ed.
It's Ed.
Earl.
Yeah, Earl Warren. Speaking of people who fail at debunking things. But he was going to be a priest, right?
I think so. Like, and he has some tie to the church.
So the church trusted him to go check this stuff out.
Yeah. So they, you know, there's a big scene where the girl is in a... So the big scene is like the girl's in the kitchen and like everything's thrown all over the place.
Right.
And but they don't know that she got caught on camera and like she's throwing everything all over the place.
Oh.
But then she's like, he told me I had to do that or they'd kill all of you.
Yeah.
So that's why they had to leave. But yeah, so like they're trying to debunk, and you think they've gotten to a point where they're just kind of like, nope, where this isn't real. And
right.
Then Ed figures something out. He like takes two pieces of tape, like audio tape, and crosses them together, and it plays a message.
Yeah.
So they go back. But it was, you know, they had some really good scares. Really, yeah. I think overall, the chemistry between Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga is off the charts.
Yeah.
Like those two guys are guy and gal are great together.
Yeah.
Whose daughter was on American Horror Story?
Yeah.
She's the
daughter?
Vera Farmiga's daughter.
I thought it was her sister.
Oh, well that would make more sense. Because yeah. She sounds and looks just like her.
Yeah. I think it's her sister.
Oh. Well that's pretty all right. Sure. That's a huge gap.
Well,
there's no need for name Google. Calling.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if
she chooses to live her life,
however
it's her business.
That's yeah. up to her. If you enjoy James Wan, if you enjoy everything, that dude has not had a miss yet, I don't think. Dead Silence, maybe. That's the puppet one.
You know, that's an interesting one, is there's moments of that are pretty chilling. And it's funny because I really don't. Okay, so the whole Uncanny Valley thing, I don't know if I talked about that, you know, mannequins, yeah. Ventriloquist dolls, clowns.
Yeah.
All of that. They all give me the willies.
Yep.
And the ventriloquist dummies, you know.
There's that whole scene where they all turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went to the Universal Studios. They have Universal Horror Nights.
Yeah.
And the movie that was like the movie that was released that year, they always like do a one of the and these are haunted houses that are like on Hollywood level scale, like
right.
You're going through sound stages.
But you get like
we went to one haunted house, it was snowing inside.
Yeah.
It was on a sound stage and it was snowing.
I've always wanted to do those.
Amazing.
They do like a Rob Zombie's done one before.
Yeah, the level. Yeah, they actually did. They did Friday the 13th, and you had to get on a boat to get to a little island.
That's so cool.
And we were waiting in line, and I saw a girl running by, and Jason chasing her, and I was like, nah. I was like, I'm not going on that.
I get no pleasure from being scared.
Yeah,
I don't.
And this
see
is,
enjoyment.
I mean, I know, you know, it's not real, but it's just. I mean, I also admire just like the artistry behind this. And there was,
yeah,
a scene.
I would like to go and like look at the stuff.
So good.
I just don't want people jumping out at me.
Oh yeah,
like, that's fun for me.
Yeah, and this is like,
especially as much as I have to pee.
Yeah, yeah. Just
you'd
wear,
have to like go on a drought.
Just wear adult defense.
Not going to end well.
And so there was a one part of that where you walk through a. It looks like you're walking on the catwalks over a stage, and it was just wall to wall. You know, maybe 40, 50 of those damn dummies inside their little like boxes that they come in, their carrying cases, and they all turn their heads as you're walking by. And I'm like, man.
But yeah, he did that. I think he did Death Sentence, which is a kind of a Kevin Bacon remake of Death Wish.
Yeah,
I think that was him.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think those are the two like lower level stuff. I mean, he did Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
seven.
He's kind of like
17.
He's like a journeyman director.
He was a horror guy for a long time, and then he did Fast and the Furious. Now he's doing Aquaman. Maybe he's still attached to that at some level. But yeah, like the dude, it's a good flick.
He and the ocean.
Yeah,
about
right.
The only two things attached.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, you know, if you like the first one, there are some missteps. There's a character that it looks like they were trying to set up for another movie as a part of the Conjuring 4-pack.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I thought it was fun. It wasn't as good as the first
$5 bins at Walmart ain't gonna fill themselves.
Right, yeah,
but I enjoyed it. It was a pretty solid flick.
Cool. All right, well, as it so happens, our number two movie this week is Now You See Me 2, our following episode, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Made it.
Well, there's plenty there. Yeah. There's a lot of meat on that bone. Yes, I got to give it that.
$23 million. Who doesn't love magic? See, well, that's the thing. It's like magic is just like it sets itself. This, but you know, it's funny. These two movies are basically kind of the same thing. There's just,
kind of.
They're both they're con games.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Yep.
3,200 screens. So not. I don't know if we'll get that third one. Although I thought they greenlit a second and third
simultaneously.
Yeah, when the last one came out and did so well.
Maybe we'll get the second one. Just because you greenlight it doesn't mean you're going to make it.
That's true. But after we'll this see. One. We'll see how this does. I don't have anything as far as the international, so we'll have to see. Number three, the movie we all voted not to see.
Yeah.
Warcraft.
Except for Tom.
Although I did see it. World of Borecraft.
Borecraft.
I'm shocked that it took this, like, this movie should have come out 10 years ago.
Well, what I don't get is, like, okay, I've never played Warcraft.
Played Warcraft 2.
So, isn't the appeal of World of Warcraft is more like the camaraderie and the relationships that you build within the game.
I never played...
Unless you're Leroy Jenkins.
I don't know who that is.
That's a meme. It's a...
Yes.
You have to watch the Google. It's actually quite funny. Is there just type in Leroy Jenkins sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you get a chance, it's hilarious.
It's pretty good. I never played the big, massive multiplayer one. I played, like, Warcraft 2, where you just build... like your little village, and then you blow other people, like another village, up and move forward in a game.
Yeah. So my I think these are called chopping shops. That's what my friend used to call them. Because you fight and then you go shop.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You go knock down some wood. Upgrade your castle.
I'm gonna go upgrade.
Yeah.
Yay!
That's about what it is. I've never played the multiplayer. But I think it's. I mean, it's.
But I thought that's the appeal. So I'm like, wow,
massively.
I never really understood, like, when I played D&D as a kid. Like, I never understood the appeal of, like, the D&D books, because, like, D&D didn't really have like these characters that you were following. You created your own character and then went on your own adventure, and that was the fun and the appeal of it. So, like, to sit down and read a book that just had D&D written across the top of it, I'm just like, well, I never saw the appeal or why people bothered to do that. Like, I just, you know, I...
Sure.
And so, this movie was weird in that I've never had a movie where the dialogue was so loud yet so unintelligible. And then some of it is because they were saying things that were nonsensical. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Azeroth needs to get the language of chaos through the portal. I'm like, what? Like, what kind of, like, weird nerd salad are you making? Like,
it's a huge, huge, huge game.
I know that. Is it still huge? I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Yeah,
but it was not good. And it just made no sense at all.
How did it look?
I mean, it looked like every one of these movies that quite A-list.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't look bad, but it would just, nothing looked real. Right. I mean, like Lord of the Rings had a physicality, like, where you felt like you were you could actually reach out and touch. Yeah. This never felt like that to me. It always felt.
But neither did The Hobbit.
Well, that's true, but that was
the gap that happened.
So you think that's Peter Jackson then? Like, Peter Jackson's the reason that looked as good as it did?
Yeah,
because what's the jump between Return and Hobbit?
There was a lot of practical, and then the CGI was well done.
Yeah,
and the CGI was used, I think, sparingly. There's tons of it in there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, not the front and center. It's to erase things more than add things.
Yeah, and I think with Hobbit, the what made it look like crap is twofold. I think one, they went with the 48 frames a second or whatever, and so I think that added a level of hyper realism that really made it look like it was shot on video.
Sure.
And then also I think they just got lazy with the effects. I think they were like, well, we can do it. We'll just do the computer stuff.
Time crunch.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they won't even care.
It would have been fine had it been better.
Yeah. They would have, honestly, they would have taken another year.
And one less movie.
And also they had all that pre-pro and one less movie.
Well, really, they should have done one movie. But I'll even spot them two movies.
Just because
I know that from a business standpoint, like, I get it. And they could have made two movies out of it. But going for three was
ridiculous. And also, they had so much pre-pro under Guillermo del Toro. And when he dropped out, because he wanted to move on with his life. And Jackson stepped in. I mean, it wasn't Jackson's free pro. It wasn't his plan. It wasn't like, so he just had to like take the reins. And even though he sort of established the universe with the original trilogy, it just shows. It's like, well, there's the guy that kind of set it up, but that's not the movies that Guillermo was going to make. So, you know, Jackson had to sort of like
change it, switch it up a little bit.
And it was an extra on one of the discs, and it's made the rounds on the internet. And it just basically shows it's like how sad it this whole production was, and like how you could see how Peter Jackson knew early on. It was like, this is
not working.
Like they did not have the script. And he's rewriting. And he's writing as fast as he can. There's a whole second unit that was directed by Andy Serkis, and they were doing all of this stuff, and they realized it wasn't going to be usable, and so they shut that down.
Is he directing something? Is he getting a movie on his own? Oh, the WB version.
Okay.
But he was directing the second unit of all these action set pieces, and the huge set pieces. They weren't just like second unit. Oh, get the shot of the back of the guy's head walking into the casino.
Get the establishing shot of the plane landing.
No. These were like major set pieces, and they realized that they weren't going to fit within the scope of the movie, and they shut it down, and you get to see them shutting it down, and you're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
It was just a mess.
That's a sad trombone.
But, you know, they kept going.
That they did.
Because they wanted to get that.
Got
to
get that money.
Get that money. So, yeah, Warcraft. Directed by Duncan Jones. I'm kind of bummed about that, too. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah. Moon and Source Code.
Yeah.
Source
Code's a lot better than it had any right to be.
Yeah. Well, they you know, because it was the gimmick that you're like, oh, it's a gimmick movie. And then you realize, no, it's not that
it's
at all.
It's not at all.
Which was kind of the cool part.
That's the Gyllenhaal one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen this movie.
That's good. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of like a cop or like a special agent. And he keeps going back to this one moment in time. And he has to, does he have to stop?
Stop a bomb from going off or something.
But he ends up falling in love with this girl at this, like the girl that he keeps sitting in front of.
Yeah. It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
Did you ever see The Adjustment Bureau with Emily Blunt and Matt Damon?
No, I did not.
It's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Except on a bigger scale, a more action scale.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That was more of the thinking version.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also good.
That was good.
Yeah.
So, number four, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles slowly creeping back to the shadows that they never left at $14.2 million, down 60% from last week. Still on 4,000 screens.
Wow, more screens than our number one movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
By a lot.
Yeah, actually, that's on more screens than any other movie right now.
Hmm. You know, you guys were talking.
Go, Ninja, go.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier you guys talked about on the show about the musical.
Yeah.
I think I am like 5 years older than Kevin, so I am in that age range where they nailed my parents, because with all of the Ninja Turtle stuff.
Oh, they nailed them, all right.
I saw that Ninja Turtles musical. They came here, I saw it.
We're gonna do the Ninja Turtles, and you know what? We're not even gonna do their shells.
No,
people won't. You know what? They'll still pay.
Yep.
These kids are so dumb.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say, it's just like when the WB said, we're gonna do a Superman TV show. You know what? We're not gonna have capes or flying or any of that stuff.
That show was great.
That show was awesome.
That show was good.
We're gonna do a Batman show.
Okay.
You know what? He's not on it.
Yeah.
Batman.
No Batman.
We're going to do a Krypton show, but it's about Krypton.
But it's not about anybody you know. It's about the guy you know.
I hate all of those things.
It's like about the guy you want to know about, his grandfather. That's what we're doing. Oh, and you know the guy who ruined Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman? He's going to write it, too.
Yay. Oh,
yeah, David Goyer's Krypton coming to sci-fi. But they're going to cast Superman for Supergirl Season 2. He's going to be on it.
But it's not going to be Henry Cavill.
No, hell no.
Oh, well done, DC.
Yeah. Hey, look, if we're
going to maintain that continuity.
There is no continuity.
Of crap.
Yeah. Those shows are good.
The shows are.
Yeah.
The Flash is good. Arrow.
So I haven't watched Arrow this season. Flash is fantastic.
Yeah, we bailed out.
Oh. I have like 23 episodes of my DVR.
I couldn't do any more wig time. Wig time is what I like to call when they do flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
It's like, oh, good. Now we know it's a flashback because he has a horrible, you know, Gunnar Nelson wig on.
It is a Gunnar Nelson wig. That's pretty good.
Dude.
Oh, you know what? I went Gunnar Hansen.
Oh, there you go.
Leatherface, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, number five, Me Before You. So counter programming did not work for that. Almost cracked $10 million.
Is that the
second week?
Khaleesi one?
It is. It's the tearjerker.
Ooh.
Did you see this one, Todd?
I did not. It's taken some heat, though, about because it's like the main character has a disability or
he's
something.
He's in a wheelchair, yeah.
And they're saying that it's like...
It's Vanek from Hunger Games.
But they're saying that it's like using disabilities to play on your emotions or I don't
know. Wow. It's almost as bad as Rose McGowan bitching about Apocalypse choking out Mystique.
Well... As you know, we had a conversation about that last week. Speaking of which, number six.
I wasn't here, so...
Yeah. Yeah, you could have... That would have been interesting. You could... number six, X-Men Apocalypse, down 58% with just $9.5 million this week.
Wow.
Still on 3,500 screens, though.
Still more than our top two movies.
Yeah, it's down... Well, let's see. So it's pulling in like 2,700 per screen. Its total is 135 million.
I mean, that's a win.
I don't know what the global is, but
yeah, it's definitely off from the last one.
I mean, they're still gonna. I mean, we don't have to worry
about.
That's
not gonna stop.
There's gonna be another one. It's gonna be the disco one with all the.
If they can bounce back from Wolverine Origins,
they can bounce back from X3.
Yeah, this isn't gonna stop them.
No.
Although, I mean, you know what, this, I have to be honest, this movie and X3,
I would agree.
And, it just makes X3 be like, well, maybe it's not as bad as we thought.
I would agree.
I've had this conversation with people before. It's like, they're like, well, X3 and Wolverine, which one's worse? I'm like, Wolverine.
X3 Wolverine is not Wolverine as Origins bad. Is
yes.
way worse.
It's not as bad as Wolverine. That Wolverine Origins, that's terrible.
That is an awful movie.
So, yeah. Okay, number seven, the Angry Birds movie is still there. Still 3,000 screens, $7.1 million. So
they've changed the subtitle of the film. It's the Angry Birds movie, Finding Dory hasn't opened yet.
Yes, 2 weeks till Finding Dory.
And no Zootopia. Zootopia is
out. Yeah. Well, it came out this week wide.
Yeah. Is Dory this next weekend?
I think it's the following weekend.
I think it's the following. Although reviews are already popping up.
Yeah.
I noticed that Entertainment Weekly is like breaking. I don't know if they just
don't care.
Their own embargo date now, but the reviews.
Wouldn't you want to get word of mouth? I guess if it's good, wouldn't you want to get that word of mouth out there sooner?
Yeah, I just think I've been confused because like usually they would do like the movie like the Wednesday before,
right? Yeah.
And now it's like two weeks before, so now I don't know when movies are coming out.
Well, now everything opens on a Thursday,
right?
So
I think it's the following week,
except for the movies that open on Wednesdays, which now open on Tuesdays.
Oh, I was like, what?
That's a whole other date.
Yeah.
The midweek box office report brought to us by. So yeah, the total take $98 million.
Yeah, on a movie that was probably going to go straight to DVD.
Yeah, or my app,
Your app. That's true.
Straight to my phone. I mean,
and actually, Finding Dory opens next weekend.
Oh, it does.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I guess there's what we're doing next week.
Mm. I would think so. Let me. Well, since I have it up, no pun, no. Not to brag. next week in the big movies are Finding Dory and Central Intelligence. So
that's the Rock Kevin Hart movie.
Finding Dory it is.
Yeah.
I have laughed at the Central Intelligence trailers.
Which is kind of funny.
It's like, because I usually don't laugh at ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a couple times where I thought it was funny.
That was bad.
I think the Rock playing against type, you know, I think he does a good job.
I like Dwayne Johnson.
He's
a fun guy to watch.
Yes.
And for a guy that like is like that muscle bound, that like to normally guys that are that just come off like just assholes.
He never does.
He always comes off like the nicest guy in the world.
That's wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when he was
there are no assholes in wrestling.
Not at all.
Not at all. But when he was the big the big bad guy.
Even then, I was fun to watch. I didn't watch wrestling, but like I worked at a radio station where we had to talk about wrestling a lot, and so I would just kind of, it was on my periphery. And
like, even, except for then, it was wrestling.
And even then, when he was the bad guy, you were still like, but he's not really.
He's pretty funny.
Like
he's from like 97 to 99, he was like the company's biggest bad guy.
Yeah,
but he was the cool bad guy that you were like, all right, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then you had Steve Austin show up and you're like, all right, that guy's way cooler.
So, wow. Okay. Number eight, Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Wow.
Almost made $6 million this week. Down 48%.
If Finding Dory is halfway decent, it's going to make so much money.
This will get lost in the shuffle.
Really, with the exception of Civil War, there really hasn't been a good movie yet this summer. A truly, like, that was awesome.
Yep, yeah. I would agree. I would agree completely.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, movies that we've seen that...
From the summer,
for kind of the official...
Yeah, I think Captain America is kind of the kickoff of that summer movie.
I would even have said Batman versus Superman. If it was good, I would be... You know, but I would consider that a summer movie.
Yeah, in March?
Yeah.
It keeps creeping, but that they were
it's the summer creep.
Yeah,
don't worry. When Independence Day 2 comes out, you'll be fine.
Oh God. Okay, fine. Anyway, this Alice has made $62 million so far. So,
well, they can't be happy with that.
Won't be going through that.
That's the thing, though. That's a great point, though. Like, Dory's going to make buku bucks anyway.
Sure.
Just Alice and looking, it's going to get lost. And they'll be like, we did. Yeah, like, what the hell is that big... Alice in the Looking Glass.
Nobody bats 1,000, man.
Yeah.
No. But the next Disney movie on our list will be the number 9, Captain America Civil War, made $4.4 million this week, down 44% from last week. Total domestic, $396
million. So close!
Almost there.
They're going to release
400 million domestic.
Yeah.
Most
they're going to release an extra footage where the Hulk shows up. They're talking that World War Hulk. Planet Hulk is going to be they're going to adapt Planet Hulk into Thor Ragnarok somehow.
So
I don't know how they're going to do it.
Thor Ragnarok, which I think is going to probably be Chris Hemsworth's last go around.
Yeah.
As Thor,
No, I think he'll show up for Avengers Infinity War.
Oh yeah.
I think they'll all be back for that. I think that's the one where we're going to get a whole new cast of characters.
And then it's going to be Jane Foster Hulk.
Could be
Thor.
Or it could be Better Ray Bill, or it could be Frog Thor.
I mean, they're gonna. Yeah. They are gonna.
I mean, you can. At this point, it just feels like a fool's game to be like, "That's a bridge too far, Marvel." But
is it?
But Frog Thor,
is it?
I don't. You know what? I stopped because
I know
every single time
I
was like
that's
you know. Yeah. I mean, now we're on the cusp of Doctor Strange coming out, and it's like.
I think after Infinity War, you'll
Thor,
get
Wind in the Willows.
Yeah, right. You'll get Bucky Cap. I think you'll get another version. You may not get a Thor. That could be where they just. I mean, there are times in the books where he's gone. So they could save that and have him come back for something else. Maybe you'll get a different Iron, or maybe I don't know. That Iron Man thing is weird. I don't know what they're going to do with that, unless they do it like where he's just like. Is sitting in his office programming the suit.
Well, that's what he did. He did Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
it was like there's a great deal of that, you know, where you're like, oh, he wasn't even in. He was just,
hanging out,
hooked up to a machine.
Yeah. But yeah, I think after Infinity War Part 2 is where the whole cast is going to switch up.
Right.
Maybe.
Yep. We'll see.
Maybe.
Until
depends
then,
on how much money they throw at him.
Yeah.
Number 10, The Jungle Book, still in the top 10, $2.5 million, down 35% from last week, only on 1,400 screens, and the total of $352 million domestic.
Man, so you wouldn't have thought
crazy
that would have done almost what Civil War did.
Nope, never.
No.
Never. And I was wondering this. So what's the appeal? Like, it's a good movie, but how did people get there to begin with?
They got
with?
A pre-built audience.
I think part of how they got there to begin with is Batman versus Superman was so bad.
Yes. Okay.
And so anybody that was like going to do repeat showings of Batman versus Superman who didn't buy all their tickets before the movie opened, Joe.
I didn't have a choice.
You had a choice to not do it.
You're right. But then I would have come in here on that first one and be like, it wasn't that bad.
No, I think you'd have came in and been like, that's a big, I don't think you'd
piece of shit.
anybody to hold your hand to see that that was a horrible movie.
I don't want a repeat of episode one.
But yeah, I just think that that movie was so bad that it was just like, well, I guess we need to see something. And then the something in the queue was actually really good.
Yeah, I would agree. I was just wondering if like it was the appeal of Favreau. Like if people are like, but I feel like that's kind of like an almost like Shane Black territory.
Yeah.
Where like, I don't know that anybody name, goes to see a movie because of John Favreau directed it. Like I,
but know. I guess you have a built-in audience with The Jungle Book itself. You gotta
yeah, it's Disney. It's Jungle Book. And also, I mean, you got to think about there are families who are like, who are thinking, oh, should we all, let's all go take, let's take the kids to see the new Batman movie. And then everybody's like, no.
Don't do that.
It's and they're awful. Like, okay, well, is that Jungle Book movie okay? And they're like, well, it's a little intense. Okay, we'll take them to see that. Like, it was like, from a family standpoint,
right?
You know, you talk about the four quadrant.
I mean, yeah, and that's it, a big one.
You're way better with that.
And if your family has a daughter, the daughter's going to lean, you know, statistically speaking, is more likely to want to see Jungle Book than Batman versus Superman.
That's probably true. Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely, it hit it. And it was good.
Yeah.
It has pre-built audience. You know, you've got, I mean, it is semi-musical.
Yeah. Yeah. So two musical numbers?
I think there was four, technically.
Oh, really?
The snake song.
Oh, that's true.
Is technically a song.
Yeah, and, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'm impressed. It's just like Disney's like, how much money have we made in the last 3 months?
Cool. And they're like, oh, that makes up for
for what?
For Alice in the Looking Glass.
Yeah, right. And we have what coming down the pipeline? Even better.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
They're gonna do just fine.
So. Well, they've got what? They've got Doctor Strange, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
And then Rogue One. Is that this year?
Yeah. That's
maybe if they get all of the reshoots done in time,
they're gonna get them done.
They're gonna get them done. And you know what? That it's so funny because
that's
like
weird.
Everybody, like how many websites were reporting on like that went
crazy
with the speculation. And I'm like, oh, and unlike every other like Star Wars movie, especially, everybody knows everything on this one
because
it's wide open. They didn't even lock. You know what? They didn't even shut the doors on the soundstage. They just let them hanging open.
Yeah, they don't even have locks on them.
Nah, they just come on in.
It's like a Denny's.
You know, they actually have like the tour at Universal Studios, and you drive through, and before you go to the snack bar, you actually roll through the set of Rogue One.
If you actually
saw what was
the VIP tour, they actually let you write a page of the screenplay.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And you get producer's credit.
That tour came through, and somebody put in a new, you know, better pages. They're like, oh, now we got to reshoot the whole thing.
It's like a whole Kickstarter thing.
But I mean, that is a big number. Like 50% is a big number.
Yeah,
like maybe if they had said like, oh, we have to do 25%.
But they were saying it was for tone, so I don't. It didn't sound like they were necessarily doing rewrites. It sounded like they were more like, well, let's shoot it a different way.
Right, that could be. That's true.
Yeah, the one thing that came from a source was that it was mostly just a lot of dialogue.
Okay, so I'm rewatching these with Bella now. So we just finished episode 4. I don't remember them. These people
did you
die.
Do machete juggling?
No. Oh no.
4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
No, no. We're doing 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, okay.
That's so what we're you doing. Just, you're, yeah, we're just. I'm not. We tried to do one, and she was like, "This is dumb." And I was like, "You're right.
It's a
let's same go, problem
let's
I'm
go,
like is.
Let's
so
go right,
make
to,
it
right to four.
Yeah,
we got to the scene where they go to the.
I still
racist
think
frogs.
At some point they'll retcon out the first three.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh man.
The prequels.
I have to say this. we're about halfway
or
through.
Basically, we'll just keep the last half hour of the last movie.
Yeah, that's all you need.
It.
You know, yeah. So we're watching Empire, and we're at the scene where Luke goes down to the swamp and he sees Vader. When Vader comes around that corner, she like put her hands over her mouth and was like,
"Yeah,"
and I was like, "Just wait." And so they start fighting, and then you know they cut the helmet off, and it's Luke's face, and she was like, "What?" And I was like, that was the reaction I had, too. Just wait. You'll figure it out.
It'll make sense.
When you're 30.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, do they die?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Pretty much. I think
everybody dies to get those plans.
Yeah. So obviously it's going to be darker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even at the end where they've looped over the dark side theme with the throne room theme.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is pretty creepy.
I'll throw out a stupid theory that is absolutely nonsense, but we're going to play that game because every website is doing it because they want to, you know.
Why not our website?
Okay, so I think the girl, what's her name?
whoever the girls is,
right?
No, yeah,
no, no, no.
And, the chick in Rogue One.
In Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
She actually lives, and she becomes Boba Fett.
Oh my god!
See, I'm just doing what all the websites are doing.
Like, she's Rey's mom.
No, she lives. She becomes Boba Fett.
Okay. Who said?
Yeah, maybe, you know, Boba Fett's a lady.
Because we saw Boba Fett's face as a boy.
Nope. That was fake. Remember, we don't count those.
Don't
present me with evidence. I just want to do the same thing that all the websites are doing, where they're
Could you imagine all of a sudden, podcaster Dan Greeny confirms that Boba Fett is a female?
I want to do the same thing that they're
My
all doing.
My prediction is that she is actually the Millennium Falcon.
She's actually hiding in the little thing next to the, you know, where Han and all those guys hide, and they just didn't see her. And then we're going to see, like, she pops out on the Death Star.
Right.
On the other side and runs around.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
No, she is the trash compactor.
She's the little alien in the trash compactor.
Yeah. No, I think everybody is just, like, has a
I think that because
theory.
They released no information about it, and we know nothing about it other than what we saw in that trailer, and we know who those we don't know who the characters are.
I know what happens.
We know what happens, but like people are just scrounging for any sort of story they can find on that movie.
That they are.
Yeah.
So on that note,
that's it. That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
There you go. He didn't realize he has to say that part for me to go.
Yeah, right.
Wrap it up. So, I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Graney 67 GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts BUTTS 21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online or just get fun updates about movies and whatnot throughout the week, you can find us at facebook.com/real spoilers.
They're releasing The Killing Joke in theaters for one night.
For one night.
I'm doing it. I'm
not
real. Care.
And you go see it three times?
DeVos, nine times. It'll be better than Batman versus Superman.
He's going to buy multiple tickets just so he, even though he can't see it multiple times.
Right.
So, you can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can find us on iTunes. And rate and review and subscribe to us, or wherever you get your podcasts delivered to your magic music rectangle. Kicking it old school. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Now You See Me 2. I promise you, there is plenty to pick apart in that movie. I felt. Anyway.
Just wait.
Yeah. Oh, sweet baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Like, sweet baby.
I just sat there.
Like, wow. Like, it was one of the few movies where I'm like, I really should have brought a pen and paper.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot to annotate. Yeah.
If you thought our Batman vs. Superman episode was long, just wait.
No,
it's
I think
we might
have to apply the 60 minutes of suck ruling of, like, if it's so bad, you can't go over 60
minutes. Can't go over 60 minutes, yep.
Yeah, you just stop wherever you're at. So that is coming up on the next episode. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.